You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
How do you gear up and rise up to become the leading neobank in a region where more than half the population is either underserved or unbanked? And how do you create a product that small business will use, trust, and keep coming back to? I speak with Coinworks, Indonesia's first financial super app, a company on a mission to boost financial literacy and transform how customers transact. All this and more in episode number 462. Welcome to Mobile Presence, your destination for everything mobile. I'm your host, as always, Peggy Ann Saltz, mobile analyst, tech consultant, senior Forbes writer, and founder of Mobile Groove. This time, of course, as we do every 2 weeks, bringing you a mini-series on retention marketing powered by CleverTap, headquartered in Mountain View, California, with offices in Mumbai, Singapore, and Dubai. CleverTap is a modern integrated retention cloud that empowers digital consumer brands to increase customer retention and lifetime value. And as I said, every 2 weeks, we connect with some major consumer brand somewhere on the planet who trust CleverTap to achieve their retention and engagement goals. And today, the spotlight is on Indonesia. And for the longest time, small to medium enterprises in Indonesia were underserved. It's an underserved market in financial services, as are many regions on the planet. But our guest today is changing all that in this region. His company, Coinworks, is the largest lending platform in Indonesia and a top provider of financial capital to e-commerce merchants there. People who are building their businesses, people who are starting out in business, are going to Coinworks because they have recently launched the country's first neobank, serving small and medium enterprises, providing access to services that have been out of reach for many years. My guest today is Aditya Chintawar. He is Chief Product Officer at Coinworks, where is he responsible for driving the 30 plus product and design team members he has to build world-class products in line with the company's vision of becoming a leading neobank in Indonesia. He's also an entrepreneur at heart, who loves building technology and value-based customer-centric products. And as I said, he's on a mission to transform how Indonesia invents, transacts, and borrows money digitally. And today he's gonna tell us about that and more. So first off, welcome Aditya to Mobile Presence.
Hey Peggy, thanks for having me here. It's a total pleasure to be here, yeah.
It's great to have you here as well, because I do my research always, and congratulations. It's a little bit late, but hey, Series C funding back in January. Your investors obviously see a lot of value in your product. Tell me about that. I want to understand a little bit more about your product and your approach to teaching financial literacy in these communities.
Great. I mean, Series C was indeed a defining moment for Coinworks. Yeah, we actually serve two kinds of customers. And CDC would just enable us to scale up our products and also launch, like you said, the first neobank for small and medium enterprises in Indonesia. Now, the two customer personas are the retail customer, for whom we build the complete end-to-end a wealth-based platform of products where they can invest their money in terms of robotic or thematic investments or peer-to-peer lending. They can buy gold or government bonds, you know, or invest in mutual funds. That takes care of all the type of asset classes which we have. The second persona is the SME customers, and we serve them across all categories, banked, underbanked, and unbanked. the type of loans we serve are small to medium business loans, invoice financing, supply chain financing, also give early wage access to products, etc. Right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are based on the fact that Indonesians as a community or a country they believe in living in the moment. They do not invest much for the future. So it mm-hmm. becomes more important for us to build a very healthy investment habit, no matter at a monthly level if it is small enough. So educating the consumer base and with a lot of good content is something which helps us on the retail side. While on the business side, it's kind of, you know, really taking a strategy of financial inclusion where the bankable population, so overall the number of small medium enterprises are about 64 million. And during the pandemic, they got accelerated in terms of their digitization. So we have 20% of that which got actually digitized due to the pandemic, which is a good thing. But they are still outside the formal ecosystem of the financial ecosystem. That's where Coinworks plays a very important part in underwriting them and helping them with loan products.
So you are educating and increasing the financial level, the level of financial literacy amongst mm-hmm. businesses as well as people. That is a project that you don't set and forget. It continues. And yeah. I'd like to understand more about how you are educating them. Is it part of an onboarding experience in the app? Are you telling them via other channels? You know, you are looking at these banked, underbanked, and unbanked categories. How are you reaching them? How are you educating them?
We have two kind of strategies, both online or offline, like digital and offline based strategies. And kind of we run that in an omni-channel manner. So at some point in time, you would always get a very good content through our application. You know, our blog has a super high stickiness. The average readership or session length per user on both the business side and the retail side is pretty high. We add to that in terms of webinars, a lot of, you know, social webinars on Instagram, on LinkedIn, Facebook, where we get a lot of financial consultants actually help people with content in planning their investment life cycle, etc. That really helps us connect to the lot of retail users. And on the small and medium businesses side, the content on the app base definitely helps, but it is also a lot of offline campaigns which we tend to do. We reach out to them. All the people who are already on the app, it's always very easier to talk to them, tell them about, you know, but at core, we believe in having very honest conversations with people and increasing awareness for the overall community, even if it sometimes helps our competitors, is also okay. But saving people from loan sharks is the most important part. So how to protect themselves, saying that a lot of products which we built, actually, to give an example, we built an employee wellness product or an early wage access, where a person gets a instant loan. We can process it in less than 24 hours at zero rate of interest. So what happens is these people then don't eventually end up going to the loan sharks for very long or high interest rates. This way, actually, and the referral and word of mouth actually helps us back again in building the brand equivalent to the trust factor.
I mean, that's probably something that we're not aware of outside about the issues internally that you're up against. It's not just helping educate people, it's actually helping to protect them from loan sharks. That sounds like a very drastic situation. Since I'm looking at this from the outside in and we have a global audience, can you describe that for a bit? I mean, is that really something that is so prevalent that you need to be protecting your customers from that as well? Tell me about that situation locally.
I put it this way, right? Indonesia is like, it's a country with 17,000 islands. Now, mm-hmm. what happens is, you know, we are all in a country, a big landmass, good access to connectivity, people traveling. You know, there are some sort of lending institutions would have localized offices, they would review, and then underwriting tends to be easier, etc. Now, how do you build a lending company in this kind of geography, right? So what generally happens is when access to credit or access to capital is less, for example, in Indonesia, 50% of the population out of the 300 million does not have access to formal bank, right? So in a country which has 50%, only 50% of the people are included in the financial ecosystem, the rest 50% people, yeah, high chances of them going to a loan shark, right? Because money is definitely required. And what we are trying to solve is that problem. While we educate people, yeah, we are not for profit. I mean, we are a business, you end up making money, but not exorbitant interest rates. And that is where the customers tend to trust us. And that got a lot of awareness in people. And we go, so I put it in this way, we follow a sniper approach. We go in a particular sector, let's say online e-commerce example, or digital sellers, or social commerce. Let's say there is some lady making candles at home and selling them online, right? Mm-hmm. So that would be my D2C brand sniper approach. Once we do that for a couple of months, then we take an amplifier approach where we would like to amplify that strategy across sector. And then the third step, natural step, is the educator approach. So snipe, amplify, and educate. This way, we are able to go sector by sector by sector, and actually, you are able to have a better retention in segment-wise as well.
That makes sense because you build trust through familiarity and frequency of interaction. So if I am that woman that you're referring to, you know, making candles in her home, that's starting her out in business. As she progresses, she will use you more, and you have become part of that routine. You have become that fintech app, that neo bank that I'm going to trust with all of my financial planning. There must be some noteworthy success stories here, some interesting human stories, because, you know, customers are coming to you for their funding and then maybe going on to do great things. I mean, we are in accelerated times where online and physical, they are together. So online commerce is commerce. Why don't you tell us a few of these?
So, yeah, I mean, it brings me to a very interesting point, right? So, because I cannot just give you one story. What just happened during the pandemic, when the pandemic started around March, April 2020, we actually ran a lot of campaigns with a lot of NGOs here to raise some money for vaccination, you know, medical kits, building hospitals, etc. We called the coin Donasi program. While we did that, we figured that money in terms of donation healthcare is not the only challenge. Our active user base in terms of SMEs, wherever they are in Indonesia, have lost the touch point of customer coming to their doorstep or their shop. So what we actually did was, some people were privileged, right? They have access to Shopify or Wix Commerce. They have their own digital, like a website store, which can go live. But we realized that a lot of our customers were not digital. So we took the initiative to build a marketplace kind of a situation, a tool where we got details from there. We asked them for photos, their pricing, their SKUs, and we actually built up the whole marketplace solution, which we call as local support local, you know, to support your local businesses. Because during pandemic, what happened was, you know, your malls or shopping malls, everything was closed. The people who actually supported you with bread or eggs or basic needs were the people who are staying close to you. And we got all these SMEs, and they were our customers, and we got them made digital on one single platform. So you could go on the website, filter by your region, look for what you need, and we started funding them. The first 2 months of the start of the pandemic were a bit tough because we are a lending company. You have to look at default and everything. So we're kind of playing at the fence. But once we understand, actually, pandemic has accelerated our business in a way, especially in the Indonesian context, because what happened was, our job was to ensure that more of unbanked and underbanked people become digital. And pandemic kind of forced or accelerated that behavior. Once they were digital, for us, you know, it was very easy for us to serve them better. And we actually gave loans to a lot of such folks. And today they continue to be our repeat customers, but their revenue size or book has just doubled or quadrupled. And that way, because they built trust in the local community, right? The brands or the local SMEs or small medium businesses build trust. Because they build trust, their revenue book increased, and definitely our loan book follows with that. So I, in if I look back, and we can only connect dots when we look back. I think, again, our intention was good to give back to the society, and the people took it positively, and that seed is still helping Coinworks. So I think this is something which, you know, it's a win-win. You give back first, and then things come back to you.
Oh, Aditya, I wonder why more people don't think like you. I really do. Makes sense. You have to invest in local business, and you will get it back. And your neobank is proof of that. You know, you can make money from lending, but at the same time build.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Building the base of businesses that will take, you know, your services, that will benefit from your from the lending, not just the peer-to-peer lending, which is where you're coming from. So you're the first really to come from peer-to-peer lending, building the first neobank, doing good, and still seeing the bottom line. In fact, you said yourself, books are double. Yeah. What made you do that? That's quite a jump to say, we are going to go from peer-to-peer to neobank for small, medium enterprise.
I mean, great question, right? If you see globally, or you see the European market or the US market, now the European market, you know, the neobanks started as more of a challenger banks to the high street banks, like something like Barclays, etc. Right? The customer just got an application where they have a virtual card, they can start transacting, they can customize their own card. But European market or US market, much developed market. You have better access to internet, better smartphones. Everybody's mobile devices would be like the top notch quality, and where, you know, the hardware is great enough to increase your app size and etc. Now, we operate in an Indonesian context, emerging economy, where our challenges are, you know, very different to these markets. So traditionally, people actually start with the neobank approach and effectively want to become a lending organization because that's where, you know, the profitability is there. We took the approach where we are already a lending company. We are profitable. We did good business. We helped people during the pandemic. But what we realized was the only way to further accelerate this is have an integrated financial approach. When we gave loans to people, they bought products somewhere and then they sold it offline or online. But this system was broken. Now, what happens with a bankable customer? I get access to his bank statements. I have access to his bank account. Let's say he can upload the summary for last 3 months. I can underwrite them better. Now, what do you do in a country like Indonesia where 64 million of SMEs, freelancers, and influencers are there? Now, let's say somebody wants to buy Google ads or Facebook ads for promoting their, or TikTok ads, Instagram ads. Now, the problem is the penetration of credit card market in Indonesia is 88 people to 1,000 people, right? That's how bad it is. So it's not only access to credit, it's access to a digital card for accelerating their business. So we reached out to our customer base, we did research, and broadly, there were three major points. First, the small medium businesses do all the transaction reconciliation and tracking manually. It's more like they have a book, they write how much business I did today, you know, do I owe money to someone, and etc. This manual tracking usually takes around 2 hours per day. In a month's time, they're spending around 30 to 50 hours on manual tracking, right? Mm-hmm. The second part, so we said that, okay, let's free them up and save their time so that they can focus on their business. 50 hours a month is a good time for them to focus on their business. The second part which we realized was because there is no, you know, business banking available to these medium small businesses, they kind of use their personal bank account, or sometimes they even don't have a bank account because it's cash economy for them. Then that way, because there is no transaction data, I cannot ever underwrite them for future. So they are doing good business, but I can never give them a loan because I cannot underwrite them.
Because there's so no record that of you can, it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so we said that, okay, let us give them a digital virtual bank account, a card account. Once I give them a card account, they're transacting through that card, you know, I can automate a lot of these transactions, give them financial e-statements so that reconciliation is taken care of. All the cash payments which were happening to them, now we have created a product called as Payment Link. So these people can create a payment link. It's super flexible. Let's say I'm a customer, I'm buying some bread, but it's going to be delivered to my house. So the shopkeeper can send me a payment link. I can pay it online immediately. But sometimes, you know what? During the pandemic, the second issue realized by these small, medium businesses was cash flow issues. It was very important for them to have daily cash flow. But customers used to forget to give the money on time. Mm-hmm. So the suppliers used to follow up for money, but the customer is not paying. So very simple feature, like a reminder feature, an auto reminder feature, a subtle push for the customer to pay back money on time, also solved their problems. And lastly, because, you know, they do not have card, they cannot grow their business. So we said that building a neobank is a very natural choice and a reverse approach for a country like Indonesia, where the financial inclusion can be accelerated. And now with the SME neobank, what we are trying to do is we are connecting their accounting system, we are connecting their website builder models, so their inventory, their cash flow, their money, the reconciliation, everything is happening on one single application. Once all of that happens, I can give them a pre-approved loan because now I know what's happening with the money. So earlier, what I used to wait for, let's say 3 days, 4 days, they have to give me statements, transaction data. Now I know what they're doing. I can give them money faster, even before they ask it. So more moving from loan to a growth capital model.
So that's a fascinating approach. It makes a lot of sense. I want to go further into this. I want to understand how you are engaging with your customers and your customers. So it's enabling that entire conversation, but we do have to go to break just a moment. So listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence, sponsored by CleverTap, a leading engagement and retention platform, will be back after this message.
Welcome back to Mobile Presence. I have today as our guest Aditya Chintawar. He is Chief Product Officer at Coinworks. And Aditya, before the break, we were talking about your very interesting, successful model of understanding what your customers, what their customers need, even predicting it at some level. It looks good on paper. It sounds great when you explain it, but what are the real life challenges here?
Great. I mean, yeah. There are three challenges which we as a company face to reach our customers, both on the retail side and also on the small business side. I would bucket them into, let's say, technical challenges, the consumer behavioral challenges, and overall we as a business into, you know, a super app or a financial super app or a lending company challenges. Now, from a technical point of view, we touched upon it a while back because we are in an emerging economy, the kind of access to internet, the kind of smartphones people actually own. Now, if I need to stay in somebody's mobile application, I need to be really compact in size, but I need to offer a lot of services. My design has to be convincing because the financial literacy is a bit less. Now, I need to communicate a lot of stuff through my design. We also need to localize it and customize it based on the persona. So this way, I am able to build an application which will run at slow speeds, but the person can actually fill a particular loan application, right? So that's more on the technical side. We always try to go hard on our engineering, product and design so that we are accessible to the masses on different islands of Indonesia easily. The second part is behavioral, right? Because now we're talking about a country which has 50% of the people outside the financial ecosystem. It becomes very important to constantly educate them, right? We do a lot of telemarketing activities where we educate people. These are both done by humans, done by robotic calls, so that I can achieve a lot of scale dependent, and we can fine tune the campaign depending upon the consumer segment we are going after. And blog does a lot of wonders from a retail consumer point of view, because the personal finance management, the people who want to invest the money, yeah, that kind of category is slightly more educated versus the people who want to get a loan or for a short term or a business loan. But one of the most important behavioral parameter we at Coinworks faced is trust of the customer. It's very important in a fintech, especially a fintech, you cannot compromise on the trust. And I think that's somewhere I am wired as a person. Whatever you show, whatever are the terms, you need to be upfront on the app. Because if we are ethical, the consumer feels it, they know it, and that is what boosts up our referral also a lot. The organic movement or referral is pretty strong for the brand, and that kind of comes to the... But you know, you cannot do this overnight. Trust has to build. It takes time. Every relationship takes time, whether it's online, digital, transactional, even with our customer or with the merchant, it takes time. But we kind of try to work on it behaviorally. And from a business point of view, you know, assessing somebody's credit worthiness for somebody who's unbanked and underbanked tends to be more difficult. But again, we are market leaders or the segment leaders there, where we bring back people back to the economy, or, you know, you give the first loan. We're usually the people who want to give the first loan to somebody, look at their repayment behavior, give them a top-up loan or a second loan, and then that just keeps going on. And we are okay if tomorrow they go to some other competitor for something, but we got them, and their stickiness is high. But the whole approach is, again, educate, and give a better rate of interest, and not somewhat with the hidden fees, etc., which the competition is aware of. So you usually get what you see with Coinworks, and that kind of built on top of this. So every channel which we go through, these are some sort of pillars which we tend to follow, which makes it easier for us to go to any channel.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of building trust in many cases is also consistent messaging. Yeah. Now, you have a very interesting company because your product portfolio is very broad. You're growing. You're going to be and aiming to be a super app. So you cover a lot, from loans to AI-assisted investing, even gold investments for that matter. Yeah. How do you build trust at the same time that you're educating around such a wide array of services that are always changing as well?
Yep. No, I mean, the pandemic made it more tough for us to live up to our brand promise, but we kind of do it. So following a consistent brand or delivering a consistent brand experience to our consumers, broadly, we as a company always, we have two hats, one the retail side and one on the small and medium business side. On the retail side, it is about consistent messaging. We use multiple tools to ensure we tell them when a particular of their investment is hitting maturity. Do they want to invest that money back? Do they want to, redeem that money for their some urgent needs or etc. We give them intelligent options and educate them as to why changing in particular asset class right now in this month makes sense. Because, you know, let's face it, right? Last 2 years, the governments have printed more money globally. And we are in a classic bull run where people have invested, the multiplier has been 5x, 10x. But as we see, the volatility is too high right now. We really educate our customers point in time, saying that, you know, right now we see gold is pretty volatile. There's a war happening. You know, you kind of change your asset class. We have built risk profile and recommendations and goal-based funding. Let's say I'm chasing a goal for next 2 years that I want to save some money for against this goal or achieving this goal. Now, if there is a volatility, depending upon my risk profile, we kind of suggest and make recommendations to them. Now, that way, we are going a level above a personal finance management application, where we not only tell them, hey, invest here, we tell them why you should invest here, how much you should invest here to keep in alignment with the kind of risk profile they as a user they want to keep. And that kind of actually helps us communicate in an omni-channel manner to our consumers before the transaction, during the investment transaction has happened, and just before the maturity of their investment is going to happen. And the fourth part is, what are the next steps? How should you invest money on our platform? To give you a context, our P2P competitors give a higher rate of interest, okay, compared to us. But we command a higher AUM on our platform because more people trust on us and our guidance to them with their money.
That's it right there, because you've just told me the four touch points in the journey when you are communicating. So you're constantly communicating, but you're not just saying, hi, I'm here, you haven't used your app recently. It's about advice. It's about addressing pain points. You have 1.5 million users. Tell me a little bit about how you are segmenting them, because you are giving them fiercely personal advice that they value, but nonetheless, you need to approach segmentation in a very specific way. How are you doing that?
Yeah, so when it comes to a retail side, the segmentation kind of fits into buckets of people and their investment behavior and pattern. So we have a lot of big customers or sort of who are putting, let's say, upwards of, in Indonesian currency, 20 million IDR, 50 million IDR and upwards. You know, we kind of also give them a dedicated relationship manager. Or a financial consultant who kind of helps them to bring in the big money and move it out quickly, give them better returns, etc. The second section is, you know, between the age group, demographically speaking, 24 to 35, that kind of age group is more into, you know, they're the new generation, just millennial to Gen Z. They're aware of what they're doing, but we want to guide them because it's an instant gratification. So we kind of tell them that, okay, investment and making good money needs patience. So that's our second segment. And then the third segment is between the age group of around 30, 35 to 45, the middle segment, you know, which is more of a balanced segment. You know, these people have some household responsibilities, married people, you know, we kind of segment people and their purchasing patterns. Do they own a house? What kind of car do they use? What kind of transit do they use? So then we know what kind of apps do they use. And then we would like to customize their experience. And we also are available on a lot of other applications because now I know where the consumer is sitting there. So broadly speaking, these are the three consumer segments on our retail side. And on our small medium business, it gets very interesting because there are three kind of, again, segments here. One is all the companies which are less than 30 people, you know, on online influencers or freelancers, digital new age people who have amazing skill set or craft. They make good money, but sometimes somebody needs a high-end laptop for their designing, let's say, a business laptop for their designing. A lot of people do weekend freelancing, weekday jobs. So that is one kind of segment which we power. The second segment is all the online sellers, e-commerce sellers, where they are not registered businesses. We call them personal businesses or home businesses who are run through the home, right? Somebody is a baker and they sell theme cakes on Instagram. Now theme cakes, as we know, are they make good money and revenue, but they're not access to the formal economy. So the banking system, and we kind of understand that, give them loans through assessing credit through alternative means. And then the third segment, the biggest segment, is all the private limited or registered companies, which we offer supply chain financing, invoice financing, where we would like to underwrite a particular invoice and help those people. So it's a broadly full spectrum, and we are available on we are the preferred partner of all e-commerce sellers in Indonesia. We have API integrations with them. So basically you can get a buy now, pay later loan. We don't do consumer buy now, pay later, right? Like Afterpay or something, but we do SME buy now, pay later, again, a first in Indonesia, where we realize that an online seller also needs capital in a rolling manner to sell his goods, buy it in wholesale. They sometimes import a lot of stuff from China, Singapore, other countries. So, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of help them there as well. So this is broadly how we segment our customers, and reaching each of them is very different. Somebody needs high touch, personalized in communication apart from the app ecosystem, and somebody would be 100% digital with very low touch human interactions.
So you've given me quite a lot of detail about how you segment those users, you know, three different types of buckets, two different types of customer groups overall. But of course, everything is changing, you know, and that's demographics. Then there's behavior. Then there's real time, seeing how are they navigating the app at various stages and doing something, you know, offering that proactive advice, offering that recommendation. How do you make your mobile marketing more personal, more customized, but also more effective?
We use a very good marketing tool, CleverTap. CleverTap helps a lot of it in automating whatever strategies we have. But broadly, I would touch it upon in terms of for the current real-time analysis, how is our customer journey, where are the funnel leakages, you know, where are people dropping off for both these two kind of customer segments, the trend analysis of CleverTap, that particular feature, or the funnel analysis of CleverTap kind of helps us in a real-time manner, also retrospectively, what really happened in the last 3 months, which channel did work the best, you know, what money did we spend, and we kind of attribute it and then, you know, re-harness that particular channel. So between the real-time analysis and the funnel analysis, it kind of tells us about who came, where did they drop, and what to do. But the cohort analysis of CleverTap is we can break them into different user groups and channels, and cohort analysis kind of tells us how did they behave on the app, right? What was their session length? We can slice it by session length, their transaction amount, and this kind of, you know, becomes a constant strategy for us to go back to our customer base, segment it, and access that again. The second part, which actually kind of helps us, is kind of building the journeys which we spoke about sometime back, right? We heavily focus on our onboarding journey. We have to make it, like I said, localized, put enough education there, follow the regulatory principles, and still keep it easy for the customer. Accessibility, right? So wherever are the onboarding journeys, the OTP validation, etc. Anytime any sort of, you know, funnel drop is there, CleverTap kind of alerts us. And I know that, okay, something is really wrong in this part. Maybe my OTP service is not working, example. And that kind of helps us to ensure that, you know, the typical marketing metrics are on track from acquisition till activation, at least until the first transaction, right? And CleverTap has helped us, you know, moving our activation or onboarding success rate almost by 50%, because then I know that a particular app or a particular journey for a segment, why is it leaking? And that's why I can say that it has helped us there. The last part is, once the customer is actually inside the application and they have at least made their first transaction, the RFM analysis, the recency, frequency, and monetization, that model kind of helps us to again hit them back with very personalized communication. And that actually forms our backbone for the CleverTap campaigns or the push notification campaigns.
It's interesting that you're looking at onboarding and education and building that journey, adapting that journey in real time. Some of those stages are more challenging than others. Where do you find that you are able to draw from this to engage your audience best? For example, many marketers have issues with enticing people to come back to the app or use it more, you know, in other words, reactivating lapsed users. What's a challenge for you and how do you approach it?
The challenge for us is, fortunately, we have a lot of good, healthy content available on the application, which is quite sticky for the personal or the retail users to come back and read. And then, you know, pushing them back with this engagement content about financial wellness and et cetera helps us bring them back. Second, you know, a lot of payday communication, you know, your salary has just hit the account, make the year investment first and expenses later on, rather than expenses first and you think about your investment later on. That kind of communication also tends to help us a lot of exit intent pop-up kind of, you know, helps us to ensure that the person, once he's in, actually makes a transaction and does not leave without it. But assume all of this has been done. We kind of believe in having the journey of, building a habit-forming product ensures that whenever a transaction is happening, you attach happiness to it. So we kind of, once the transaction is complete, we attach a celebration moment to it, and we kind of want to seed that in the consumer behavior. So reactivating them is just easy with the push notification. So our user base is very repeat. The investments happen in a monthly, periodic manner, right? And that way, on the retail side, the reactivation is slightly easier, I would say. A lot of reactivation challenges for us continue to be on the lending side. Because let's just face it, right? A business takes a loan, an installment loan for 6 months. I cannot sell him an installment loan next month because he has to pay me back first, right? So the challenge on reactivation is what happens if, what kind of additional cross-selling I can do to this customer / reactivation apart from my loan services. is something which you are interested in about. And that is the part which we are solving for now with the neobank, where we are giving them other tools to come back to us and help it. From a CleverTap point of view, the push notifications and targeting them with content to grow their business kind of gets them back. Sending them reminders for untimely payments, which helps us give them better rate of interest and higher credit limit for the next time. We also drive a lot of that communication through CleverTap, actually. But both the personas have a different reactivation problem. Yeah, that's how it is.
And of course, a little bit of a celebration moment as a way to get someone to come back. That's very smart. What does that look like? I'm just curious. Is that like a little bit of fun clip art, a little music? What does that notification, what does that look like, that gamification?
So that notification is more about, you know, trying to make them remember that, you know, they did good for themselves or the family or something. You know, they made the right, mature decision of investing. And the celebration part is that they could do it just with two clicks. So the push notification helps us to get them back on the landing screen again with pre-configured options so that it gives them a quick way to realize that they did a good thing today. So we kind of communicate that in the push notification. We don't choose music as much there, but it's interactive in nature with more of graphic or a GIF model. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's ultimately all about making moments personal, special, customized, feeling that you are there, you are with me, you have my financial well-being and wellness is your interest, is your business.
Yep.
Looking at it overall at what you do, Aditya, I want to close with your rule, your golden rule for retention. What would you say is the one thing you need to get right or you need to follow to keep users loyal?
Okay, I think one thing which I go really heavy on is my kind of D1 to D7 to D30 kind of retention. Do I have a framework to answer you? Yes, I would have many retention frameworks which I can talk about, which are part of product-led growth or habit-forming products, etc. But I think going by the numbers, looking at the churn or the retention from D1 to D3, why did they go off the platform? What worked better to get them on the platform on these D30 levels? Because the first 30 days are critical for us, because in fintech, if I do the 30 days better, the investments would be periodic in nature and the lending, the repayment would be naturally happening and they would come back to me if my rate of interest is sorted. So mathematically speaking, D1 to D30, that kind of a model is something which I really go heavy after. We slice and dice until we have cracked a particular segment of that person, I mean that persona. And CleverTap retention or the RFM analysis model does this out of the box. Very little manual effort to segment the data because I can just filter that out very quickly, save those models also in future and set campaigns according to that. So that way, that's one of the thing where it helps us from a mathematical point of view or a actionable model point of view. At a behavioral point of view, I guess the core fundamental is always trust first, give back more to the user for what they bargained for, and eventually they'll always get back to the platform.
Love it. Building trust is part of the human approach. And then there's a level of automation, as you said yourself, using that where you can find it to build RFM models and keep them for another time and continue to build and refine and iterate. And speaking of iteration, you know, you being where you are in product, it would just be fascinating at some point just to understand how you have made this such habit-forming app. I think I'd have to have you back again, Aditya, but until then, product is the new marketing and you'd have to have a good product. So there's a lot of learnings there. I think a lot of learnings for everyone because you've had to keep it simple, but you've also made it a habit in the process. In the meantime, Aditya, how would our audience keep up with you? What might be a way that they can stay in touch with you?
I'm pretty responsive on LinkedIn and Twitter both. Twitter nowadays, I'm more into Web3, right? That's a new thing. So building the whole implementing fintech, then going to DeFi models, that's something which keeps me awake. I read a lot about it. So Twitter is the best way to reach out to me if that's faster. And LinkedIn also, I'm just a message away. So both of them, you can just your audience can reach out to me. I'll be more than happy to talk to them and learn more about.
Excellent. And we are already linked together on LinkedIn, yeah. I believe. So yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being on Mobile Presence today.
Thanks, Peggy. Thanks for having me on Mobile Presence. It was a great honor to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you as well. And of course, Aditya has shared his journey into help marketers and organizations drive customer connection and results for their businesses. CleverTap has also curated the latest presentations from CleverTap Quarterly for you on YouTube, gearing up for yet another flagship event offering insights around the state of the industry and CleverTap's latest platform innovation. So watch for it. You don't want to miss it coming up in May 19. You can go over to the CleverTap website to register, and you can watch the best over on the CleverTap Quarterly playlist on YouTube. If you want to keep up with me throughout the week, find out more about how you can be a guest or sponsor on Mobile Presence, and you can email me, Peggy. Peggy@mobilegroove.com is where you can also find my portfolio of content marketing services. You can check out this and all earlier episodes of our show by going to WMR.fm, or you can find our shows, of course, on Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio simply by searching Mobile Presence. And don't forget video on YouTube, powered by my own company, The Groove. So until next time, remember, every minute is mobile, so make every minute count, keep well, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.